We come to this job to be put, like, because it's fun. Not because of the money. Not because of the money. Because it's fun. The money helps, obviously. That's part of it. I got into this, though, because I love sports.
Yes.
You love sports. That's what we do. Carter loves sports. Sam loves, we all love sports. We're junkies for this stuff. So if any of us comes in with a bad attitude, hey, we'll talk about it. We'll say, like, but we all agree. That stuff needs to be left at home sometimes.
Debbie Downer dude in every work setting,
yes,
whether behind the scenes, face fronting, it does not matter, can ruin the entire workplace environment.
We're all dealing with stuff. Don't bring it to the workplace. That's what we like to say. And I don't think Willie Adames is bringing his own personal struggles and you know, demons, if you will, to the rest of the team. And that is something that is important in all this, because we've seen it in the past. You mentioned a guy, Klay Thompson, and how it went out towards the end. You saw the body language. You saw him on the bench at that thousand yard stare, Joe.
He's a legend.
He's a legend, but it doesn't matter. You could be a legend. You could be a guy that's been here for a couple months. Body language is a big deal.
I also felt like, and this is going like spiritual here for a second.
Oh.
But like every miss early in a game felt heavy and heavier and heavier. Not just for the player, not just for the team, but for also the people in the arena rooting for him.
Would you think I'm crazy if I told you I was at the, Lakers Warriors preseason. So this was like a week before the season started, right?
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago. So this is Clay's going into his, what would be his final year.
Season, yeah.
But coming off that bad series against the Lakers, obviously, where he was just awful, probably his worst series he's ever had in his career. Yeah. And you saw the struggles become more and more heightened. Like, oh, Clay's going up against his dad's team, right? Michael Thompson and the team he grew up rooting for, you know, the Kobe's of the world, right? And you just saw it. The lights were just so damn bright at Crypto.com Arena or at Chase Center. Nothing could go down. And then you saw, even in that preseason game, Joe, kind of three-fourths full. I was sitting next to young Benny, my son, and just the fans just being like, oh, because he missed a couple three-pointers in the first quarter.
You could feel it in the air.
This was a preseason game, Joe.
I know.
And that was a sign of things to come for the regular season.
Like, I remember distinctively when I heard the booing for Deebo Samuel on that Thursday night game when he dropped that ball. Oof. What was it, against the Rams?
The Rams, yep.
And I was like, whoa.
It was like raining that day too, I want to say, right? Yeah, it was like heavy mist.
And you could feel like, and this was weeks of frustration finally boiling over, and the whole entire stadium was like, you've got to be kidding me. Right. I remember like there are certain kickers that this has happened to. Like Jake Moody is one of recent memory, but if you're a Niner fan and you're in your 30s, like there are certain kickers that once they miss a couple of kicks, they go out there and that next miss feels like it just zaps the energy from the entire stadium.
I'm looking at a clip right now, Joe, of a guy that also had bad body language towards the end there in that season. It was Jordan Poole for the Warriors.
That's a good call.
When he got subbed out.
Every turnover for Jordan Poole, every miss, you're so right.
And when he went on into the bench, he'd be yelling, he'd be talking. Listen, we're not saying this is right or wrong from the player's perspective. I have no idea what these guys are going through on a day in, day out basis. This is what happens when you just see clips like these and you hear comments after games. There's a lot of comments from Clay after the game where it didn't really sound like a leader at times from a fan's perspective. It sounded like someone that's going through it. And sometimes some people can perceive it as, oh, that person's pouting, or it's a pity party, or it's like, when is this going to end? Hey,
Juan Soto right now in New York.
Yep.
I think part of why Juan Soto is getting, and his numbers are way better than Adames is across the board, but I think obviously the money is a huge factor. I think it's the way that he's like very indifferent to people criticizing him, and it feels like he throws a little childish tantrum if he doesn't bat exactly where he should be batting in the lineup in the two hole.
Right. By the way, his numbers aren't that much better than...
He got 7 homers?
That's exactly. 2 more homers than Willie Adames in the same amount of RBIs. And then the hits, he only has 45 hits. So hasn't been that good. He's batting 230. Has not been great so far.
He's been slightly better.
Slightly better. But the Mets, again, they're a team that's winning. I think they're 10 games over 500 or something right now. Like they're one of the good teams. But it helps when, who do you have? You have Francisco Lindor there too. You have Pete Alonso. You have guys that Now, albeit Lindor's not a made man there. He might be a made man, but he came from Cleveland. So he was a free agent at one point, but he feels more like a Met at this point, if anything. Pete Alonso, obviously, guy.
I'm glad you brought up Clay, though. And I'm like just thinking about it here. I'm like, all right, so he was such a legend. Well, Chase Center was never going to boo him.
No.
But that being said, I don't feel like we ever rallied around him. We were waiting for him to go on a run. And it never felt like that run never came.
Yeah.
And it just felt like the fans were like on the edge of their seat, ready to cheer anything he could do positive and go on a little run here. And they like, it just never kind of came around. And it just felt like the way it ended was so anticlimactic.
And it was, unfortunate. And I think there was a lot of fans, and whether you think they're right or wrong, oh, they're not fans. No, there are fans that feel like, hey, you know what? It soured them on Clay towards the end there. Whether that's fair or not, they soured on him. But the guy, he won 4 titles there. He's the Splash Brother. He's one of the greatest players in the history of the sport. Might be the second greatest shooter of all time behind Steph, as far as I'm concerned, even ahead of Ray Allen and Reggie Miller. The guy is just unbelievable. He had 30-plus points in a freaking quarter, for crying out loud. Game 6, Clay was the thing. But even all of that goodwill built up within just a year, Joe. Hell, maybe it was just within a series against the Lakers. It all just, maybe it wasn't even against the Lakers, against the Kings. That's when it first started. It was the comments after the Kings series.
Yeah, but I don't think every fan felt that. I think there was a small, segment.
But I think that mattered, though.
Okay.
I think it's just like, hey, man, time and place. Why are we talking about a contract right now?
Well, that's, I think, part of Debo, and Brandon Ayuk also to another degree, is like, there was all of these other little things that they were doing so publicly that became so large you couldn't ignore it. And then when you start slipping on the field and you judo chop a kicker on national television, right? No, like you laugh, but you know that's true.
That was pretty crazy that happened. Tabor Pepper had to get involved. He's not on the team anymore, I don't think, either.
I think both Ayuk and Debo, there was a whiff of, are you a good teammate? And I don't even know if that's fair. I'm not even sure if that's fair. But there was a whiff of that where you just kind of contemplate, like, are you a good teammate? And I think that's when the whole narrative started to shift on those guys. Like, Ayuk didn't wear the right shorts. That was bizarre.
Well, and it was him and Shanahan talking about it. And there was video, like, evidence of it, so which made it even like,
and they both,
what the hell's going on?
Requested trades and did things on social media. Again, I'm not sure how many people are locked in on every little thing these guys do on social media.
No, but we talk about it on air here. We relay it to the masses. We do, yes.
And I do think that factored into it.
Absolutely. And again, we're talking about Willie Adames and just a couple months of struggles right now. And no one's booed him yet at home. The boo birds have not come out for him.
I agree.
I've watched some games, at least on television. I'm not hearing any so far.
But I don't think that Clay ever, I don't think he ever warranted any booing. I don't think anyone was ready to boo him or anything. We were frustrated, and I think we wanted it as bad. No one wants it as much as the athlete. I want to make that clear. The athlete wants it. Whatever you think, these guys want it so bad. But we wanted it for him too, to some degree. I think fans wanted him to turn it around, and it just never came.
No.
And like, I think about Alex Smith, who was a guy that I booed. I remember distinctively booing him. And in part, why I booed him wasn't because of him. It was ownership. It was the fact that we didn't take Aaron Rodgers. It was the fact that Aaron Rodgers hung a Super Bowl banner before we did. Like, all of those things. And then, yes, you're the avatar for my frustration. Let me boo you out.
I do think there. Sam brought up a funny one about the Raiders and the boo birds from them, because obviously Raiders formerly here in Oakland, they're in Las Vegas now. But I do remember I was watching a game, and it was through the television.
Yeah.
And it was the last game, I think, of the regular season, which I don't think meant anything to the Raiders, quite frankly. They were playing the Denver Broncos. Both teams were eliminated. But it was Antonio Pierce took over, right? It was that big run. Remember, they beat Kansas City on Christmas. They had that big run.
Yeah.
They were a pretty good team for a little bit. And Aiden O'Connell was the backup, and he was the backup, and he became the starter over Jimmy. And then he took the team, and he was pretty solid the rest of the way. He gets hurt in the last game, and is not the first quarterback out for the first series in the second half. Who was it? Jimmy Garoppolo took the field for one play, Joe.
Oh my God.
One play, booed out of his mind. Just booed relentless for one play. One, and he knew the writing was on the wall then. Probably going to get cut. They're going to move on from the guy. But that was one full season of Jimmy for a fan base that had no didn't know anything about him. Or they did know something about him, but he was Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, sure, we've moved on from Derek Carr. Great. And he comes in there, and all it took was Devontae Adams to be done with him, one of the quote-unquote leaders of the team, your number one wide receiver, to vouch for the backup, and that's when the fan base just turned on immediately. Okay, you're not winning, and our number one wide receiver is done with you? That means we're done with you. So when other players...
Yes.
Other players start sending messages out there that you respect more and that are contributing, fan bases will gravitate towards that. I think of a guy like Draymond Green has a lot of sway within the fan base when it comes to some of his comments. People ride or die with Draymond.
Yeah.
Whether for right or wrong, Joe, with some of his comments.
You're right.
You've seen it.
You're
He'll say some things in a podcast and everyone's like, oh, you know, Draymond's so right. Like, I think about what he said about Carl Anthony Towns a couple months ago, calling him out. Oh, he was scared. He was ducking me. No, Draymond, actually, he was attending a funeral. But people stuck with Draymond. He's like, yeah, I hate Kat now because Draymond does. Like, it can be a double-edged sword, if you will, when it comes to the comments to a fan base. They could love you or hate you, but sometimes that love is not really love. It's just blind loyalty. And I would urge caution to fans when it comes to that stuff.
I would also say that the rage that you might see online or at a stadium directed at an individual player sometimes is... it's meant for someone else. Like, the most famous one of all time is Joe Lacob getting booed during the halftime Hall of Fame induction or the retirement jersey for Chris Mullin.
Yeah.
Okay. Fans weren't booing Lacob as an isolated individual. They were booing everything. Yep. They were booing 40 years of ineptitude. They were booing Robert Rowell and the prior ownership. They were booing the Monte Ellis trade. They were booing everything. The fact that you were moving the team from Oakland into San Francisco. Like, that to me was a layered boo that is one of the most famous Bay Area booings that could possibly happen. Johnny LeMaster. If I say the name Johnny LeMaster, do you even know?
I know the name, yes.
He was famously booed. And on the back of his jersey, he came out one time and instead of LeMaster on the back, it said boo. John Brody famously was booed by the Kezar crowd of the 49ers back in the day. And then famously turned around while being booed by everyone and flipped off the entire crowd. And then they started to applaud him.
There you go.
Right? So I know we think of the Bay Area as kind of like a soft serve fan base. I think we're quietly kind of crazy.
When there's expectations involved, this fan base can get nasty just like any other fan base can get nasty because there has to be a level of expectations. I really believe this. If you're a championship team or a playoff bound team, potentially, that's when fans start caring a whole hell of a lot more. Right now, the Giants are kind of in a honeymoon phase. Like, you think about a new relationship. Okay, I'm back in it. Things are going well right now. You're 8 games over .500. You're a playoff team. You're in the honeymoon phase. Starts getting the dog days of August towards September, and you're hovering around .500. You're a game here or there from either being in or out of it with any given win or loss. Yeah, I do think you're going to start hearing some things from the fans when it comes to if Chapman's struggling. If Adamas is struggling, it doesn't matter who's struggling. You're going to hear it. There's only a few made guys on this team that I think are bereft from any boos right now. If I was to list them off, it'd probably be Logan Webb, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's, I don't think anyone's booing Logan Webb right now. And after that, when I just go up and down the roster,
I don't think Yaz would get
Yaz
booed.
Probably not.
I think people respect, again, Yaz is a great example of, if we think you try really, really hard and care, I think that would give you the benefit of the doubt. AJ Pierzynski, for example, you know why we booed him? Because it felt like he was a jerk.
Yeah. He probably was.
He kicked whatever he did to the trainer. Right. I don't even, you know. But like, we booed him because we thought he was not a nice person.
Right.
Right. I don't get that sense with Willie Adames.
And then he goes on and he wins, obviously, with the White Sox a year later. And then he becomes a White Sox guy. But it didn't matter at that point because I don't care what you did for another team. Right. Before or after me. What did you do here? I'm going to remember you that way forever.
Matt Morris. Do you remember that name?
Yeah.
Matt Morris came here after being a Cardinal, was a high price free agent. And within months, everyone was like, screw this guy, get him out of here.
Right.
And it felt like he was defiantly angry at us for his poor performances.
Right. Not Michael Morris, Matt Morris.
No, yes. Matt Morris, the pitcher. He was, I think he got a $30 million deal as a free agent with the Giants. And
Morris. Got it. No, yeah, I think he said Morris.
I remember him. I remember in 07, he came out and asked, like, Are we focused on winning or are we focused on a home run chase? And he was traded like a week later. Dude, so there's your answer on that one.
That's a hilarious quote, actually.
He was I'm paraphrasing, but yeah.
Frankly, though, he was a bum for the Giants. He was garbage.
He had a good four-start stretch one time.
Tight. He had a four starts.
It might have been five starts.
Five starts. Thank you. $27 million from the Giants. Three-year deal. There
Would
you go.
I say 30? I was not bad.
10-15 with a 4.98 ERA. There you go.
Does booing accomplish anything for a guy that's going to be here for the next 6 or 7 years?
No, it does not. It's incredibly short-sighted.
But don't you think the Giants fans want to rally around Willie?
Yes, I think they would like to right now. If it starts getting into like, when did the true boo start for Barry Zito, I wonder? When did that happen, Joe?
Do you know? Not year one.
No, it was not year one.
Year one was 07.
Because you could talk yourself into, maybe it was a dud year, new surroundings, new ballpark.
It was Bochy's first year, exactly. And I thought he was a retread hire. Yeah. Straight up, I was like, oh my God, we got the guy that the Padres kicked out? Are you kidding me? And I've now obviously recalibrated. But I thought he was a retread hire. Right. We were coming off of Felipe Alou, and we needed something different. And it felt like he was taking over the final year of Bonds. And then we heard about this kid, the franchise, as in Lincecum, who mm-hmm. Bonds had dubbed the franchise. And we were kind of getting a little taste of him, but it was primarily like a team and a franchise in transition. Mm. We had no expectations of winning. So Zito was just one of the many, you know, glimmers of optimism moving forward past the Bonds era. That's what I thought he was going to be, the guy that got the baton from Bonds to usher us into a new era.
And he never,
I didn't really boo him like 09.
Okay.
I think 9-10 is when it kind of got frustrating, because that's when the Giants were also good, but he wasn't. And so there was like,
I remember the moment of no return. The moment of no return for Barry Zito for me was the second to last day of the year against the Padres at home. When he walked the bases loaded and I believe walked in a run. What happened in that situation, mm-hmm. Sam?
Yeah. No, that's October 2nd, 2010. He walked in the run there. And I remember Bochy coming out to get him. And that was, you talk about when anyone's booed people off the mound. That was one of the only times I've ever booed a player that I root for off the field. Me and 39,000 other Giants fans were, because that was the last non-sellout before the streak.
They had an
booing him mercilessly off the field.
Yep. They had an opportunity to win the division, right, Sam? And instead they had mm-hmm. to do it the next day, which was Johnny Sanchez. And then famously, Will Venable struck out with Brian Wilson. And then Brian Wilson was running around the stadium. But everyone was like, this is the moment. Zito can become a Giant, wipe away all the negativity. You just win today, you win the division, and everything is good. Remember that? And like the Padres totally choked down the stretch.
They did. I do remember that. By the way, Will Venable, now manager of your Chicago White Sox.
Wanted him to manage the Giants.
He'd rather be the White Sox.
No.